2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name's Suze, and it is my distinct pleasure to be with you today on Flipping the Switch. We're going to be looking at repatterning your thoughts, your beliefs, and the way you do things. And today, it's around relationships. I've titled today's show, Loving the Differences and Creating the Space. Relationships, while they could be the most challenging and also the very most rewarding parts of our lives, and sometimes at the same time. I'm really excited to have a special guest today. Phil Hoffman, who's my wonderful life partner, is joining me today to talk about loving the differences and creating the space. So, Phil, welcome to the show.
Hi, Suze. Thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. It's like, we're going to chat a little bit about how to hold a space for those you care about to step into, what proactive daily activities that are going to make the tough times easier to navigate, and the importance of having the what always does it for me conversation throughout the next hour, and just encouraging each other to show up as our best selves. Whether you're currently in relationship or wishing that you were, you'll be learning some things today because you're going to find out that there's a super easy, everyone can do secret to having great relationships. We're open for calls today. We're on live. And so if you're interested in asking a question, please do call in on 877-230-3062. If you'd like to do some repatterning, don't worry about it. If it doesn't quite fit the topic, that's my job to make sure that it does. And, you know, relationships are pretty much key to everything. Would you agree, Phil?
Absolutely. I mean, we're social beings and we're designed to be in relationships of all kinds in the world.
So I don't know about you, but I for sure know about me. I wondered if it was ever going to happen for me. Mm-hmm. Been married twice to really wonderful men who just, for whatever reasons, ages and stages of our lives, it just didn't click for very long. And then I was on my own for like almost 20 years, as you know, and then you showed up. And, you know, it was like the immediate click that happens, but that part's the easy part, isn't it?
Right. That's the easy part. It's the ongoing relationship and making it work after, you know, days, months, and years. That's the key, right?
So some of the things that we're going to talk about today are the things that encourage each of us to show up as our best selves. And as I said, we're going to be coming from a place of clearly personal, connected partnership. But this same things apply to whether you're in a relationship with your brother, sister, next door neighbor, best friend, colleague. And we'll touch a little bit as well on manifesting the perfect person. Because I think that people often say to me, well, clearly what you do works, Suze, because look at what you found.
Wow.
So what would you say in terms of relationship is the key factor for you?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, Suze, and I'm not sure that what I have to say is going to be all that new or groundbreaking. But I think the key for me would be, first of all, that we are okay in relationship with ourselves first. Without that, I don't think that we're going to be particularly successful in relationships. So what's your relationship with yourself? What's that like? And if that is good and strong and firm, if we're able to live well, confidently, lovingly with ourselves and in the world, then that's really the foundation for then having successful relationships with anyone else, particularly intimate relationships.
Mm-hmm. That would be so. So that would be kind of the no beating up on yourself, or if you do for not very long.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that if we're coming from a space of low self-esteem, you know, self-neglect, those kinds of things, it's going to be really tough to be good in relationships, unless we're with someone who wants to be a rescuer, but then we get into all kinds of patterns that aren't necessarily healthy ones.
Mm-hmm. So that relationship with ourself, and I, you know, it's one of the things that I talk about on this show all the time, is building that relationship with yourself, being your own best friend, your own best coach. And I remember a time when I was on my own and feeling really sorry for myself and thinking, oh, I wish I had a partner too. And then I went, okay, so I wish I had a partner to do what? And I mean, you know, short of the intimacy factor, but I wish I had a partner to, and I remember thinking, go down to the Lilac Festival. And then I thought, why don't I just take myself to the Lilac Festival, mm-hmm. and be my own best partner there? And rather than looking for somebody else to go with or phoning a friend, I made a decision. And that was a really groundbreaking moment for me when I made that decision to, in fact, be my own best partner.
Right.
Took myself out for lunch, had a wonderful time, bought myself a treat.
Right. And I think, Suze, that goes to what I was saying. If we are our own best friends first and treat ourselves well, then we're likely to be able to then carry that forward and translate it into our relationships. So again, it begins with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And so often I hear people looking for something in the other person. And do you have any suggestions on, you know, if that's happening?
Right. So if we're completely independent and self-sufficient, then we don't need anyone else. And some people, they're okay with that. You know, some people are single and happy and want to continue that. You didn't and I didn't. And I'll speak for myself, but I definitely feel that I'm better in relationship with someone that complements me and what I have and creates something that's bigger than just me in my life. And so for those of us, for those of you who are interested in that, then it starts to become about, okay, what does the other person bring? And how does the other person complement us, ourselves, and in what ways? What are we looking for? What do they bring? And how do we make that work? And so that obviously opens up a whole new conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that idea of being complementary as opposed to feeding into the deficits, or
right. You know,
which and that keeps it out of that codependent place.
Yes, exactly. Well, ideally it does. That's right. Mm-hmm. So rather than we're half of a circle or a square and we need the other half to complete it, we're already complete, but how do we, you know, complement that and extend it and make each other's lives bigger and better?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it was about that I'm really good on my own, mm-hmm. and I'm curious about how I would be in this place in partnership. And we were talking earlier before we went on air and saying, you know, I'm not sure if we'd met 25 years ago, if it would have worked.
Uh-huh, exactly. And we were different people then, and we both bring our histories and life experiences and to some extent, let's face it, our own baggage into relationships. And so, again, self-knowledge is really important there. We really need to take from what we've learned, the mistakes we've made, and the good lessons that we've learned as well, and bring all of that forward to be the best we can when we meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we've done that.
Yeah. Most days. Most days. You know, there's always that when we're down a court place. And, you know, I think that's the other thing for me that's been really important is remembering who we are when we're at our best. So the times that I forget myself, the times that I lose myself in the busyness or the overwhelm or the, you know, myriad of things that are happening, and I literally lose myself, as all of us do. Doesn't matter how mindful we are, how centered and solid we are, there will be times where we get knocked off course, and having someone, you know, whether that be a spouse, a mother, a neighbor, a work colleague, who remembers who we are at our best and reminds us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, someone who holds the space for us, who knows who we are at our best and can can remind each other of that. Absolutely.
I'm wondering if you would feel comfortable sharing with the listeners. One of the things that really drew me to you was I remember early on, clearly there was big fireworks and all of that stuff that happened, but it was fairly early on in our relationship. And you pointed out to me that there was a discrepancy and asked me really kindly about that. And it was around the things that you're saying or what you just did there doesn't fit who I know you to be. Do you remember this?
Not specifically, Suze, but, go on.
Keep going. You'll remember as I get there. And it was, and I don't remember the circumstances exactly, but I had said or done something that was not in alignment with who you knew me to be, with the values that you knew that I hold dear, mm-hmm. with the teaching that I do, with belief repatterning. But there wasn't a kind of like, well, you're not being very like, you're not walking your talk. There was no judgment on it at all.
Yes.
Do you remember now what I'm pointing to?
Not specifically from, an incident early on, but I know that we've been there for each other in that way. And yeah, so I guess the point there is it's easy for us to shoot on each other, right? And become judgmental when we're not happy with the behavior of each other. And like you pointed out, I think sort of reminding each other of our better selves is for us at least a nice approach to working through some of those things. So a lot of this is about our conflict management and how we work through that. And if we can sort of take the high road as much as possible, I think that really helps and goes a long way. And I think that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, there was. I remember it really clearly because you said something about it's just what happened there is not in alignment with who I know you to be. Do you want to talk about that? There was an invitation to explore it as opposed to, and you're masterful at it. I'm learning it. As recently as this morning, it was like, help me understand how these things, because I'm having trouble putting them together.
Okay. I think it must be from having diplomats in the family history.
that could be what it is, but it is. It's just a beautiful way of, because I remember when that happened, it was like, oh, and I wasn't even aware of it. It was an old habit, and it was an old habit that showed up because I was down a quart, tired, hungry, thirsty, whatever it was. But it was just that help gently kind of saying, can we look at this and can we have a conversation about it instead of, what the heck, what were you doing there?
Right. So asking questions, exploring rather than judging, mm-hmm. Inviting conversations about where we're at and being in the moment, I think are all important and helped us get through that.
Yeah. Super. So if you're interested in having question or a comment on what we're talking about today or doing a bit of repatterning around relationships, you can call in on 877-230-3062. And as always, there's an offer for anyone who does. We are doing an online program the 25th of November and the 2nd of December. It's a two-parter called Critic to Coach, Inner Critic to Inner Coach. And it really is just looking at how you can get that voice that's been nagging on you, what I call the inner critic, to come around a bit. So rather than trying to get them to be quiet, it's at that same kind of thing, inviting the conversation. So having an inner coach that's strong enough to ask a question of that critical voice rather than just letting it run away with you. If you're interested in joining us for that, you can register on Critic to Coach. That's C-R-I-T-I-C 2, the number 2. Coach, coach.ca, and join us. It's a complimentary two-part evening that just takes a look at how to get that inner conversation more on side and more in that conversational place in that way. So what's one of the other things in terms of holding the space and dealing with stress that you think has really contributed?
So we all face stresses and, you and I have faced some stresses recently, but I think spending some time each day and getting into a practice where we consciously set aside time to hold a space for each other and have a conversation is really, really important. Or at least that's something that I've learned from my past in relationship. And I think that it's worked really well. I know it has for you, Suze, because you are always the one who tends to remind me about that and make it a daily practice. So we don't need to go into the details of exactly what you and I do, but for example, one of the things we do in that time that we set aside for each other is to express certain things for each other. For example, an appreciation, and it might be more than one appreciation, but I really appreciate you this morning, Suze, for having cleaned up the house before we left for our drive today. So that's an example of one of the things that we do in that space that we hold for each other every day, that practice. And then it goes on from there. You can make up your own versions of this, what you want to do in the dialogues that you have. But just the idea of setting aside time that you know that you're going to have with each other, especially when times are stressful and busy, is really important, because we need to connect. We need to remind each other that we're there, you know, how our day was, what our needs are, what we're looking forward to, what our hopes and dreams are. And I think we find that really valuable. So that's one way that we do that, hold that space.
And for me, it's almost like brushing my teeth. Like mm-hmm. if I you know, try to go to sleep without doing that,
right.
I feel like I've forgotten something really important.
Yes.
And that what I find that's also interesting about that, and it's, you know, with any habit, that you create the habit and then it spills. And so even though we have a time that we specify, it's usually in the evening, often right before we go to sleep, we find ourselves doing those same phrasings
right.
during the day.
Yes.
And so, you know,
exactly. New information. I have some new information for you, or have a request for you, or I have a puzzle, or have an appreciation. Yeah, that kind of language, that's right, starts to become second nature. We still consciously go through the, you know, the exercise of that dialogue. But then, you know, it's in the spirit of repatterning, right? That mm-hmm. we start to do things that become second nature
mm-hmm.
and positive patterns. Right?
Yes. And I think what's important about it is that when you have that specified time that you've set aside, you know that there's a place where you can bring something that might be concerning you, or that's very exciting, or that, and that
right.
you'll be heard.
Exactly.
It's not just a check-in quick, but it's a conscious sit down, look at each other.
Yes.
And it might be 2 minutes and it might be 20 minutes. And
yes.
sometimes it's been an hour. You know?
Right. That's really important, Suze. So face to face, you know, turn off devices. And it's a time when we don't interrupt each other, because we're giving each other the space and time to say what we want to say and need to say, and we're honoring that. And, you know, and going forward. And if there's something really important, like, you know, I need to confess something, or I need to own up to something, and we know that it's something major, then it's a good idea to make sure that we leave time after the exercise where we can go back and discuss that at you know, at greater depth. Mm-hmm. So, but what we check in about could be just, you know, fairly day-to-day, ordinary mundane things like, thanks for taking out the garbage this morning, or, yeah, new information. I had a call from my best friend from high school today, and something like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be profound and
earth-shattering
every day or mm-hmm. every time. The important thing is the check-in and the space, but it also is an avenue for those more important conversations and creates a setting for those to be explored.
And I think one of the things that I've really valued is that we've established that, and then it has spilled over to other areas of my world.
Right.
And so with an assistant in my business, I really appreciated you to day four. And
right.
and we end our time together with that. And oh. it's a really lovely mindful piece again. And then what happens is that throughout the day, we end up saying, I really appreciated that you did that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, because we get busy. And, mm-hmm. and you, if you haven't trained your mind to do that, it's not that you don't appreciate or value. It's just that sometimes you're too busy and you don't do it unless it's become a habit.
Right, right. And then we start taking things for granted. We don't communicate. We take it for granted that what's in our heads, in our minds, is somehow magically transferred to the other person. But guess what? It isn't unless we articulate.
You're a pretty good mind reader. And I think that's also what gets people into challenging places, is that when they've been together for a time, you are able to think in each other's heads a lot. But it's not ever 100%.
Oh, no, never.
And so, you get going on it and thinking, well, they can think inside my head, and then they don't. And then it's like, how did that ball get dropped? And it got dropped simply because we're not in each other's head.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm really, really cautious about assuming that what's in my head is going to be in yours, or that I know what's in yours. I can second guess that. Very cautious around that.
It's one of the things that often creates rifts in any kind of relationship, whether it be with a friend or a sibling or a coworker, is when we start a sentence with, I know you think.
Yeah.
That would make me crazy.
Yeah. And that's a really, really good basic rule of things not to say. I know you think that I'm mad, but that kind of thing. Really not helpful kind of language to make that kind of assumption, or any kinds of assumptions, really, as opposed to asking. It's from your behavior, I'm sensing that, or I'm feeling that this might be going on. Is it? Right? Ask the question and go from there, rather than I know that you X, Y, Z. Right?
And I think then there also has to be that trust level that the other person will answer you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm thinking of a situation where I asked you and you said, it's all good. And it didn't feel like it was all good. And so I came at it from another place, and then I realized it was mine. It was my stuff. You were fine. Mm-hmm. And it was me. And it was just my old stuff about, you know, whatever left over from whenever, and it doesn't matter. But it was like, okay, that's my stuff. He said, it's good. And I asked again in another caring way and still got the same response. So I trust that.
Yeah. So thanks for that. You're being very gracious and generous, Suze, because at the same time, I'm an introvert and so and tend to can withdraw and do withdraw. So I'm also apt to say I'm fine when I'm not necessarily fine. So there's that sometimes as well.
And so that's why I think that the checking in again, like the coming at it again, and then if somebody's, you know, and I know that there's times where I've asked you that and you said you're fine or it's all good, and I've asked twice, and I know it's not, but I also know that then you're in your process. You're in your introverted process, and I can just hold the space and just love you from where you are without having to kind of run in and rescue and fix it.
Right. And for my part, if you ask me in an authentic way, is everything okay with you or are you fine? And I say, yes, I am. And especially if you ask again in another way and I still say, yes, I am, then I need to own that. You can't read my mind, right? You need to take what I say at face value. And if so, then it's on me, right? Uh-huh. Then if I'm saying to you, I'm fine, then Phil, me, I need to be that way. Uh-huh. Otherwise, I'm not being authentic.
Right.
And then we get into problems, or we could, right? Mm-hmm. If that's what I'm doing, if I'm being dishonest.
One of the things that I want to go back and touch on that we talked about before about being busy, and I was working with a family last night. There was a dozen people that were gathered together, and they asked me to come in and just have a chat with them around the way that things are communicating. And there's been a bunch of challenges in the family, and they were wanting me to address it specifically. And rather than doing that kind of head-on counseling kind of piece that a lot of people are looking for, we just did some talking about how to be good with yourself where you are, and that allowing the other person to be, if they say that that's what they need, that's fine. And when that line gets crossed, if somebody says, I'm fine, and is holding you at arm's length, and you know that they're holding you at arm's length, then they're not fine.
Right.
You know, when do you go check in with them again?
Well, you know, might be that for an introvert like me, I'm fine, but I just need some space right now. And if I'm really mindful and self-aware and caring of you, then I would say that, you know, I'm fine. I just need some space right now to myself. And, you know, let me get back to you, that kind of thing. Would be, you know, that would be appropriate. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have your decision and choice as to what to do about that. You can say, okay, I get that. You know, I'll just do my own thing for a while. If you keep at me, or if people, you know, won't accept that, then, you know, who knows, it might go sideways from there.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who likes to talk things out, which is my natural way of being.
Right.
It's a learning thing for me to say, okay, this is somebody else's process. And that for me to, I know in previous relationships, I wouldn't have let it lie. I would have kept at it because of my need to talk it out. And so what I do is I go take care of my need to talk it out by grabbing my journal and writing it, or, you know, going for a walk and nattering to myself, or whatever it is that I need to do for me, and not expecting the other person, whether that person be you and I in partnership, or my assistant, or a friend, or a relative, not expecting them to meet my need. I'm responsible to meet my need.
Right. However, that said, Suze, if that becomes, an ongoing routine pattern where we're doing that all the time, you know, I'm sort of saying to myself, you're needing to talk it out, so you have to go for a walk to talk it out, you know, to whatever, talking out loud, that's not going to be a good formula for long-term success, because, you know, you're obviously not getting what you need, and I would be constantly withdrawn.
And I think what happens, you know, it's a really good point, because what happens for us is that then, you know, half an hour, 10 minutes or an hour later, we come back together and you're really good at then going, okay, so are you good with that? Do you need to talk it through? Mm-hmm. You know, once, and I think there's that responsibility as well, sure. For me to come back to you and say, did you have the time that you needed?
Yeah.
You know, and just check in with the other person. Again, it's that non-assumption place.
If I'm saying I'm fine, I just need a bit of time to myself, then the implication is that, look, I'll come back. I'll get back to you when, you know.
It's kind of like park the car, but remember where you parked it and how much money you put on the meter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't just walk away from it. We are at a time here for a break, and so we're going to come back after this, and we're going to talk about the what always does it for me conversation. I think teasing you a little bit with that one. But if you've got questions or concerns about the relationships in your life, whether that be the personal relationship that you're in or wanting to be in, we'd love to hear from you. You can call in on 877-230-3062. We're taking calls today, and we will be back in about a minute and a half, just doing a little station identification and a couple of things that you might like to know about. I'm Suze Casey, and we're Flipping the Switch.
Are you ready to integrate belief repatterning into your everyday way of being? Discover effective ways to flip your switch between your own inner critic and inner coach. Changing your thoughts changes your behavior and creates the outcomes you desire personally, professionally, physically, and spiritually. Join me for the teleseminar. Over 3 weeks, you'll receive focused, individualized coached practice time, and we'll walk through the book. I'll support you with more practical suggestions. Your $99 investment also gives you access to our learning center and recordings of all the calls. For upcoming dates and to register, visit beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com, or call 403-286-9380. Learn how your inner thoughts and self-talk affects your behavior, your energy, and the energy of others. You can and will repattern anything you choose.
My gran used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm in conversation today with my sweet guy, my life partner, my business partner, Phil Hoffman, and we're talking about how to create the relationships that you want in your life, beginning with a successful relationship with yourself. Until you have that solid place within you, you're coming into a partnership or a relationship with a colleague or a friend from a place of deficit. And you know from listening to the shows before, if you've been listening before, you know that anytime you make a decision from the downside of the line, it's a decision that you're going to have to mop up afterwards. And so when we enter into relationship of any kind from that deficit place, we're kind of signing up for maybe more challenges than we really want to. Now, every experience is an opportunity to learn and grow. So it's not that it's bad. It's just how easy do you want the trip to be? And we're talking about how you work on a relationship, but it doesn't really feel like work most days. Most days it just feels like life and fun and play. Would you agree with that?
Well, ideally. And most days it isn't really work for us. But there are times when it is, and we have to put effort into it. And really, it's like with anything else. We get back what we put into things, mm-hmm. Whether it's a job or a relationship. So what are we putting into it? What are we putting into ourselves, and what are we putting into the relationship? So in a relationship, there's one person, there's the other person, and there's this space in the middle. Sometimes I like to think of it as a big beach ball that we're tossing around between us. And so what are we putting into it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the knowing yourself piece is where I want to go next with our conversation, because this is what I mean by the what always does it for me conversation. And, you know, early on, I let you know the things that always do it for me. I remember you saying to me something about, are you always this upbeat and positive? And I said, most days, unless I'm tired or hungry or thirsty, yeah, I can get myself overstressed because I tend to say yes to a lot of things and like to have a full active life. And then sometimes it catches up with me and I'm not. But here's a list of things that you can always do that will always help.
Right. And I remember you saying quite early on, Suze, that one thing that always does it for you is being on, near, or in water. And sure enough, it's been true. And so... if you're feeling stressed or tired or upset about anything, if I can get you on, in, or near water, you change. And I've seen that time and time again. So I thought that was quite fascinating. I didn't know that about you or, previous partner, but it applies to you. And so I've tried to be mindful that at times, and I know there have been at least a couple of occasions where I've just suggested at the end of a day or at the end of a long trip, how about I run you a bath? Would you like that? And usually it's done the trick and big brownie points.
As huge. Well, I was going to say, because it's again that reminding me of who I really am. And I remember when we arrived at your family home in Sydney, Australia, and it was a stressful time. Your dad had just passed away. I had not met Phil's mom or his three sisters. And here I am meeting them, 2 days after the passing of his father, and we're arriving there. And I remember sort of doing we need to stay at a hotel. We need to, and you're like, no, we'll stay at the house. And I was a little perplexed, I guess I would say, about it, but I trusted you. I kind of made sure I had my charge card with lots of room on it just in case I needed to find another place. And what happened for me was that this warm and wonderful welcome that actually overwhelmed me. And part of it was because I hadn't had enough sleep because we'd just flown 24 hours around the world, or halfway around the world. And part of it was that overwhelming acceptance and love that you grew up with in your family that wasn't the exact same experience that I had. And so it was, I was down at work because I was tired. And I mean, I was enjoying myself, but you picked up on the stress that was happening for me, even though I was not aware of it.
And remembered what does it for you, which is
and you
water.
Just said, can I just pour you a bath? It was like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something, the time that we were at. And I just looked at you and it was like, thank you. I wouldn't have been able to get there myself. I was totally enjoying where I was, but you could see that I was on the edge of things. And I remember getting into that bathtub and just having a little cry, just a little stress release cry, not because anything was wrong or bad, but almost because everything was so good. Hmm. And so this doesn't have to be a when something's wrong. It can just be when you notice that the other person needs a little reminder of who they are. And I mean, you put me in a bath and boom, I turn into me again.
Right. Yeah. And for me, that was very gratifying, the response and that story. And, you know, just remembering what it is for you that's important and what will help change your mood and help you was great.
So I noticed that one of the things that does it for you, because this isn't something that you were used to doing, so you didn't sort of arrive into the relationship with this list. And most people don't. And I encourage people to have the conversation, but you have to know first what it does, what it is for you, because a lot of people don't know what always does it for them. But one of the things that I know to be true about you is that I watch you when you play your guitar and you turn into the best version of yourself. Mm. Doesn't matter what's going on, you pick up that guitar and within 30 seconds, you are the best Phil that I know you to be, and I just enjoy watching. And so I remember when we came back from that trip, and, you know, stressful time, you're back at work, all of this has happened in a short time frame, kind of turned yourself around a little bit. And I remember suggesting to you, you know, I'd really be interested in a CD of just instrumentals that you do, that, you know, have you thought about doing another CD? And you just dove into that this spring. And I think really it helped you do the healing through that time frame.
Absolutely. Yeah. So since I've been a young teenager, guitar has been a place, kind of go-to place for me, both creatively and for solace and just to get me grounded and calm and centered. And you've obviously noticed that. And so I always feel comfortable and who I am when I'm doing that on a number of levels. So, and I'm fortunate to be with someone, you, who gets that and appreciates it and even likes what I do. So,
Well, and I think that having that conversation with yourself first about what always does it for me, and I encourage, when I'm working with clients or my students, I always encourage them to be as specific as possible with themselves. So rather than saying, oh, I like listening to music, it's like what specifically always does it for you. So I know for you, putting on KB will move you from wherever you are to where you want to be.
So KB is a musician that I grew up with. Right.
Mm-hmm. A friend of yours from high school and that you've continued a connection with, but that's something that does it for you. So it's not just any music. And so for me, you know, one of the things for me is It's a Wonderful World. Mm-hmm. And I used to always say, preferably sung by Louis Armstrong. You know, anybody else, it's okay, but that's what I really love. Well, now I've shifted it because it's a Wonderful World as played by Phil Hoffman, and sung to by me if I can at the top of my lungs. That always does it for me. And all other music does as well, but there's specific things that we each have, kind of the way we like our toast buttered. It's how do you like your coffee? Like there's those little kinds of things that, so, you know, encourage listeners to take a look at what you know always does it for you.
Right. And to share that with a partner, with your partner or other people who can then, you know, reward you with that need, meet that need for you at appropriate times, and it can make a huge difference.
And often when you don't even know you need it.
And especially when we don't know we need it,
yeah.
Right? Like you didn't know that what you really wanted or needed at that time when you arrived in Sydney was a bath. And I didn't, to be honest, really know for sure either, but it turned out to be.
You've been given the list and you thought you'd try it. Yeah, and I remember giving, I mean, I didn't give, I don't necessarily give the same list to everybody, but I remember when I began working with the woman that was my assistant when I was writing the book, the belief repatterning book. And, you know, stressful times when you're putting everything that you believe down on paper, and especially when your first major book that you're doing is for somebody like Hay House, there's a lot of stress. For me, there was a lot of stress. I wanted to make it right. And I said to her, if ever you're wondering, you know, what you can do to be supportive, if you see me in this space, a cup of tea always works. Peppermint tea works better, and fresh peppermint tea picked from the garden. And I showed her where the mint patch was. And I remember one day she came in with, you know, this cup of tea that was made from fresh mint from the garden. And I just, you know, it was just like, thank you. When we can meet another's needs on the level of what they really need instead of trying to guess.
Right. And so what you just said there really highlights that point about you're giving someone else a gift by giving them, you know, a tool that that they can help you with at the right time. So
it's not her job to make me tea.
No.
However, all of us have sat there and looked at somebody that we care about or somebody that we, you know, are in a position where we want to be supportive and we don't know how.
Right. And so that was a gift for her as well as for you. Right. So win-win. Yeah.
You did another one just before Halloween. I'd had a full-on day and you came home from work and said, I think we should go for a drive. Remember?
Oh, right. Yes. And the drive was, I think I said to you, Suze, how would you like to see your grandkids right now? And you kind of perked up because that's something else that always does it for you, seeing your grandkids. And so I figured that would work. And sure enough, you jumped at that. And so we got in the car and went for a drive. So I had a pretext. There was, you know, a CD to give to Scott and Charis. But I knew that I'd get your interest with the idea of seeing
the grandkids. Oh, absolutely. Want to go for a car ride and get a hug from a grandkid? I'm in. And it was at the end of a day that had been really, really busy, and I wasn't unraveling from my day the way that I normally would when you came home. And so it was a really great way to help me get mindful. And so super appreciate you. So having that conversation first with yourself about what always does it for you and then
sharing it.
Yeah. And being really clear about the specifics of it.
Right.
With yourself and sharing it absolutely is, you know, a huge gift that we give to ourselves, proactively give to our
partners.
Colleagues, our partners, our family, because that's a horrible place to be in when you feel almost hand tied, you know, when you see somebody that you care about going through some stuff and you don't know what to do.
Right.
So in the absence of that list, I've always done what would I want if I was there, and then give that, you know, because so often I'm thinking about, you know, we both had family passings of our parents this year. We started the year with four parents and 6 months later we had one, and big hug to your mom. And people say, you know, I don't know what to do. Is there anything I can do? Well, when we're in that place, often we don't know what we need or want. But I remember, you know, the friend that said, I could come over and clean the house for you. And it was just like, thank you. Cause I had a pile of relatives arriving and she came over and just helped me for an hour. And that was like super. But if she'd said, is there anything I could do? I wouldn't have had an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a saying, something about good friends ask what they can do. Really good friends just do it.
Just show up and do it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, the showing up as your best self and providing what, you know, the best thing that you can think of at the time. It's just another way of being mindful. And really honoring those connections that we all have that make us that create those bonds.
Sure.
You know, I want to go back to the the daily practice, because we have another daily practice that when I was thinking about this, I thought, I wonder if Phil even knows that this is a daily practice that we do. But we both sure notice it when it doesn't happen. And that's the wave.
Oh, right. Yeah, when we're leaving in a car and there's a window above the garage at the dining room. And that's right. So we got into a little routine of when one of us drives away, we look up for, you know, the other one to be at the window with a wave. Yeah. That's really sweet. I really love that one.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big, huge things. I mean, I think that our wave to me is a very special
right.
thing that's really endears. And I think in any relationship, you know, I'm thinking about relationships that I have with my grandkids, relationships that I have with my niece. You know, one of the things I have with them is that, do you have a hug inside those arms for me?
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I greet them.
Right.
And it's a special little bond, and finding those special bonds with the people that you're close to, you know, getting back to the wave. I, you know, when I would drop you off at the train and you would get to the top of the stairs, turn around and wave. And I remember the day that you didn't. And I felt really sad, you know.
Mm.
And then there was a day that I forgot to wave because I was, you know, busy.
Preoccupied. Right.
And it was like, oh, it was missing.
Yeah.
And so those little rituals that really, really make a difference.
Right. The gestures of consideration and caring and thoughtfulness
and
go
kindness.
A long way. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just the kindness.
Right. Yeah. I like that one too.
Yeah.
That's great.
And that's, so it's another one of our daily things. And on the opposite side of that, when we come back, you know, to the same, when you get home or when I get home, we always seek the other one out.
Yeah.
And say hi. Even if you're busy, it's just touch and base.
And hug.
And a hug usually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know oftentimes that's one of the things that you've used as your appreciation, is that you got a great big hug when you got home.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It goes a long way.
Yeah. Again. And I remember as a child, no, I was very fortunate in that my mom was at home mom. And so when I came home, there was always somebody there. And I remember the couple of times that, you know, she might be late with something or been off somewhere, and that there wasn't anyone there. And it just didn't feel right. And so thinking about the things that when you were a child helped you feel strong and secure, and then building them into whatever relationships that you have. So again, I've taken that one of the greeting and the
sure.
goodbye to the people that work with me.
Sure. And you know, and touching and holding and stroking are very obvious because they're all things that we need as children for our well-being, to grow up as healthy humans. And we still need those things. Just as we need to be stroked and touched and hugged and held as a child, we still need them today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think fortunately, more and more of us are realizing that, and it's becoming sort of accepted and second nature. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't always. And even the idea that couples in relationship are friends, right? That, historically, that's quite recent. Because in the past, in the historical past, friendship really had nothing to do with getting together and having children or, you know, getting together. You had friends, but the idea that a spouse was a friend was, you know, was irrelevant, really.
Mm-hmm.
But these days we expect that. We have a lot of expectations of each other, and really, you know, we're the hardest to please generation ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want it all. We want it now, and we want it to be perfect, and we want, you know, our relationships to have all of that as well. But to be aware that this idea of being friends in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, to be aware that that's a new thing, I think is important, because it makes us realize that, hey, we have to work at this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Well, and it's interesting, the whole concept of having a person that can be, like, I think about my girlfriends, and I have a lot of different girlfriends. One that I like to go shopping with, one that I like to sit and drink tea with, one that I like to go to the theater with. And it's not the same girlfriend that I like to do everything with. I
mm-hmm.
have different friends for different things that I like to do. And
right.
yet somehow we've layered onto this that our intimate partner should be
right.
this all things at all times for all needs for all occasions.
Right.
And that's really unrealistic.
It is. It is. It's a big burden to place on anyone. And we can't be all things to all people, no matter how good we are. And so, let's be mindful of that. Let's be kind of generous with each other and talk about what we're good at and what we can provide. And, I can't be your best girlfriend in Vernon that you talk about certain things with and have a history with that I don't have. And that's okay. She has that role with you, and I wouldn't want that to be any different. So not only can I not be all things to you all of the time, I'm okay with that, and so are you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that gets people into trouble, is they expect even close friends, not an intimate partnership, but just their best friend, should be able to, and it's like, no. No one can do everything for us, and it's unrealistic. In mm-hmm. fact, I can't be there for myself all the time. I want to just do a little bit of repatterning with folks. If you want to do the repeat back, or I can do it, whichever. It's just always nice when I have two people if I don't
sure.
have to do both. So do you mind do that?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll start. This is just a general run around, forgiving yourself for believing that relationships need to be challenging and allowing there to be some interesting and ease about that. So we'll start with a forgiveness statement, which is where we acknowledge what's going on. I forgive myself for believing relationships have to be challenging.
I forgive myself for believing relationships have to be challenging.
And then we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. I give myself permission to create more rewarding relationships in my life.
I give myself permission to create more rewarding relationships in my life.
I choose to dissolve the challenges with commitment to understanding, curiosity for what is really happening, and compassion for myself and the others in my life.
I choose to dissolve the challenges with commitment to understanding, curiosity for what is really happening, and compassion for myself and for the others in my life.
I am free to create amazing relationships, beginning with the relationship I have with myself.
I am free to create amazing relationships, beginning with the relationship I have with myself.
Now, the affirmation statements are always about someplace that you know to be true for you. And so, Phil, you'll come up with your own, what it feels like to connect easily with yourself, and I'll come up with my own. So I'll do one for myself, and listeners, come up with one that makes sense for you. I know what it feels like to connect easily with myself. It happened when I was in the bath on Tuesday night.
I know what it feels like to connect easily with myself. It happened when I played guitar last night.
So that affirmation stage, the more specific it is, the better. It just really sinks in. So rather than just saying when I had a bath, it would be when I had a bath on Tuesday night and we had the lemongrass oil in it and there was some salts and, candles were lit. Just the more descriptive you can be on that one, the more it'll really sink in. And then the final one, which is the surrender statement. I am creating better relationships with those I care about, including myself.
I am creating better relationships with those I care about, including myself.
So we'll be back next week on CTR. We're just about done our hour. Boy, that time flew by. I really appreciate you coming in, Phil, and just being with me on the show. And I wanted to talk about relationships for a long time. And I thought, well, what better conversation to have than somebody I'm in a relationship with? And so thank you so much for being willing and open to sharing with the listeners.
Thanks, Suze. Thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure getting in conversation and getting connected with you.
Mm-hmm. Just the conversation that we've been doing here. One conversation, one step, one situation at a time is how solid relationships are built, whether that's with yourself or with an intimate partner or with a friend or a neighbor or a colleague or someone in your family. One conversation, one step, one situation at a time. So what one thing can you do to create a better relationship with yourself today? I'm going to give you a suggestion. Remember, everyone is always doing the best they can in every situation, including you. You did the best in that situation that you possibly could have done. Maybe in hindsight, you've been beating yourself up a bit, but remember, at that time, that was the best you could do. Provide what you're looking for providing what you're looking for in another to yourself will help you keep yourself solid. So if you're looking for more compassion from your partner or a friend, be more compassionate with yourself. If you're looking for more kindness from your partner, be kinder to yourself. If you're looking for more understanding, be more understanding to yourself. You can, and in fact will, repattern the way you've always been in relationship. And it's the very best place to do it, starting with yourself. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Suze Casey, reminding you that you can flip the switch on anything. Check out my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts. And we'll be back next week on Contact Talk Radio. Bye for now.
The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.